This is Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another live session. Joining me today in the JPR studios is Mia Dyson. Mia, hey. Welcome to JPR.
Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to be here.
You are obviously not from around here. You are from where originally?
I grew up in country Victoria in Australia and moved to Melbourne to play music when I was about 17. So Melbourne's kind of my hometown.
But that's sort of like saying you're from Portland when you're really not from Portland,
that
right?
That is
You're
true.
From a little surfing town,
yeah, no one would have heard of it, though, but, you know, since you asked.
Unless you're a surfer.
That's true. Bells Beach Surfing Pro Competition. Torquay is where I grew up. Also Daylesford first when I was much younger, but Torquay was the formative teenage years.
And in the overall scale of things in Australia, it is where?
It's on the southern coast of Victoria, so southeast before you get to Tasmania.
And does surfing factor into your background at all?
It did. Yeah. It did a lot. But I dislocated my shoulder a couple times surfing, and I could still play guitar. So I just stuck to that. And, you know, it was pretty woolly and wild back there for girls surfing. It was a very boys' world. I'm so glad it's changed so much since then. But back then it was pretty exclusionary. So I'm kind of glad I had music to take my frustrations out. Oh.
Well, you definitely had music, as I understand your dad is a blues guitarist and also a luthier.
That's true.
Made guitars.
I know. I'm a spoiled kid.
Dyson is not the name on your guitar that you've brought into the studio, however.
Only because I'm being cheeky and playing acoustic because it's easier in a small little setting like this. But I absolutely do play my dad's guitar.
Do you really?
Yeah. Yeah. He made me a Strat copy when I was about 13, for my 13th birthday, and then a few years later he'd made me one of his. He does his own designs and it's all handmade, and so he made me a Tone Deluxe Standard, which I've been playing ever since.
And it plays really well.
It is a divine guitar. Yeah. It plays beautifully. It's just people tend to be jealous of my guitar.
Mia Dyson is my guest today live in the JPR studios. Her newest record is called Idlewild. MiaDyson.com is the web address. I'm guessing that it is through your dad that you got hooked on blues and roots music.
Definitely. And my mom, too. They're both big music fans. You know, my dad, apart from being a player himself and a luthier, was a huge music fan and listened to a lot of that. Early blues and soul, and my mum loved the poets like Leonard Cohen and Bob Dylan, and so I got like a really good cross section of Americana music, which I fell in love with, and I think was the start of my being drawn to this country. You know, Americans are so good at singing about the land and the spirit and here, you know. So I caught that sort of bug to get over here.
And you were drawn here not only to perform here, but to live here, right? Like you
That's
are
true.
Now a
I'm
resident
now a
of
resident.
The States.
I have a green card.
where do you live
exciting.
Now?
I'm like Gerard Depardieu. I live in Los Angeles. I live in Los Angeles. I moved to Boston in 2009. You know, wanted to be on the East Coast to pursue touring, and picked Boston because it seemed less daunting than New York, and loved it there. But ended up having some opportunities to come to LA and. The weather, certainly, you know, being such a, I feel the cold. So Los Angeles suited me just great. And I love the desert and the West Coast is stunning. So I stayed.
What was it like transitioning from a relatively small resort kind of town, sports-oriented resort town, to L.A.?
Oh, do you mean Boston to L.A.?
No,
Torquay
to L.A.
Torquay, yeah. Yeah, I guess that transition really happened when I moved to Melbourne. And I very much took to it because I didn't feel particularly at home in the surfing small world.
And how far away is that? Is Melbourne?
It's about an hour and a half.
Okay. Yeah.
So I moved there, and then I guess I it took a while to get the guts up to move countries. You know, that was a big change, and especially going from Melbourne to Boston, where it was, you know, very cold and
yeah.
It's always about the weather. But no, I found an incredible community in Boston, and same in LA. As big and smoky a city as LA is, it's got such an inspiring community of people, and so I feel really at home there.
Mia Dyson is my guest today live on Jefferson Public Radio. Her newest album, her fifth, is called Idlewild. MiaDyson.com is the website for information. What are you going to play first, and who have you brought in to play the songs with you?
I've brought in my fantastic band, and my dear friends. So this is Aaron Sidney, who regularly plays drums and sings, but he's going to play a bit of guitar and percussion and sing today. And Sam Bolle over there in the blue shirt. I know you can see his color matches the door very well.
Welcome.
This is Sam on bass and backing vocals as well.
What are you going to do first?
I guess we'll do When the Moment Comes, because we're set up nicely for that one. And yeah, Sid's going to take it away for us.
Don't look back, don't look down. I see my failure, I see my fear wrestle to the ground. Out of control, all the weakness, all the sorrow. Oh, you will know what to do when the moment comes. You in the heart, I saw my vision when I walked apart. I don't feel qualified to tell you anything, to take the light and make it sing. We'll know what to do when the moment comes.
That is Mia Dyson live here on Jefferson Public Radio. It's a tune that actually goes back to a little bit older record called The Moment, When the Moment Comes, here on JPR. The new record is called Idlewild. You can get information on the album at her website. It's Mia Dyson, DYSON.com. I want to go back in time a little bit to 2009. This is when you kind of first got to the States, and I came across this online, and I find this to be a fascinatingly weird story, that there was like a management group around you working with you that had designs that the best thing for you would be a complete image makeover and a name change.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
What is that name? Is that what you're about to ask?
Well, I'm
Sam, you don't know this story?
No.
It's fascinating.
Why was Mia Dyson not adequate?
That is a good question. And I think ultimately I answered that by not going ahead with that name change and idea. I think, you know, it was Dave Stewart from Eurythmics who was managing artists, and you know, his strong suit, apart from, you know, writing great songs with her, is his whole kind of visual imagery, and that was his thing. And so he wasn't like someone like me who grew up like playing bars and winning people over like one person at a time, and you know, having that that connection with people that wasn't a separation of like star and audience. And so he wanted to create that, I think. He wanted to create this, you know, and he saw me as like androgynous and he thought boy would be a name for me to go with. So
Just Boy?
Just Boy.
Because now there's a German duo called Boy.
I know.
It's and like, they're wonderful.
Yeah, my brain returned to me after a short spell on holiday. And yeah, it just felt completely wrong. It felt wrong from the start, but there were so many opportunities associated with working with him that seemed so difficult to pass up. And it seemed like it was, you know, if you do this, you can have this. But I went, I can't do it. And here we are on public radio, which I love.
There have been so many artists over the years that create this interesting curiosity in that when they sing, they don't necessarily sound like when they speak.
Right.
And you have actually put it in a very concise way. You refer to the singing accent.
Right.
What is the singing accent? What happens in that process that causes the Aussie accent to go away or the English accent to kind of go away through the process of vocalizing musically?
Well, we all grew up, like the whole world grew up listening to American music. I mean, English people, Australian people, you know, the whole world. And so we sing with your accent. And I mean, it's not that it's just one accent. There's obviously stronger versions of it from the South. But the American has like the longer vowel and it sounds better to sing. If you clip it like an Australian, it's difficult to sound, you know, soulful and melodic. Some people pull it off really well and they consciously make that choice. But it would actually be harder for me to sing in an Australian accent than in an American accent because I literally learnt that language from a kid. It wasn't like I try to sing in an American accent. I just naturally do because that's what I heard growing up.
But when it makes sense, you do sing with an Australian accent. Like she can't take the world with her.
Yeah, you know? The obvious, you know, can't versus can't, you know, I'm not going
to
sing can't and sound like
sound like all you people.
Yeah.
But I don't clip my vowels like an Australian would if they were speaking.
Right.
So it's difficult because I've definitely been early on someone was like, you know, critical of me singing like that. And I'm like, our most iconic bands, Australian bands, sing with an American accent. And I don't get the problem with it. But, you know, each to their own.
So it's as natural, the way you sing and the affect that you have or lack of when you're singing is as natural to you as having learned how to play the guitar. It's just part of music.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I would have needed someone to say, hey, listen to all these people singing in an Australian accent if you want to learn how to do that. And there weren't many people doing it. Like, it's more common now. Someone like Missy Higgins or even John Butler. Well, he's part American anyway. But, even Paul Kelly, I don't know if you know.
Mm, sure.
He doesn't sing with an Australian accent except for those obvious words. But he still lets those vowels kind of bend nicely to sound good.
Mm.
Yeah.
The first record of yours we got here was Parking Lots.
Oh,
and,
really?
And it landed in blues for us.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Subsequent record, not so much. The Moment, not so much.
Yeah.
Certainly Idlewild has you in a little bit different place than Parking Lots did.
Mm-hmm.
Have you intentionally moved away from being, I guess, pigeonholed a bit as a blues performer?
I definitely tried to not ever be, you know, just a blues performer. And I guess I love that the more recent records, you know, show more of the diversity of what I listen to and what I'm inspired by. And I feel like blues definitely runs, you know, as a theme through the records. But even Parking Lots, you know, I think people think of it more of a blues record than I do. Mm. I guess it's just, it's that thing where people, I think everyone needs to be able to sort of figure out what something is, and when it sounds similar to something, it's like, oh, that's what it is.
We have to know where to put it.
Totally. We have right? our genres and our slots, and absolutely. But I love Idlewild was so much fun to make because we really explored some of the 80s childhood influences that I grew up listening to and stuff that hadn't come through before, I don't think.
Mia Dyson is my guest today, live here on Jefferson Public Radio. That new record is called Idyllwild, Idyllwild.
Mm-hmm. Like in California, up in the mountains.
You can get information at miadyson.com. What do you want to play next?
I'll play a song from that record. It's called That Sugar. All right.
Nothing you can sell me keep me satisfied. Nothing I can steal, nothing I can buy. That fix is temporary in the madness of the mind. That sugar only lasts a while. That sugar only lasts a while. My weakness came looking. I answered the call. Simple proposition. You win for a fall. But it's all nothing. It's nothing at all. That sugar only lasts a while. Mama, will you tell me why that feeling won't stay around? Lover, ever wonder why that sugar always lets you
That is That Sugar. It's Mia Dyson live here on Jefferson Public Radio, a tune from her newest release called Idyllwild. MiaDyson.com is the web address. That one came out last spring, almost exactly a year ago, last May. All right, you have an American band, as I understand, and an Australian band, depending yes. where you're on tour. How do they differ? Is there, I mean, we talked just before the tune about how the approach of making music is sort of universal, but is there an Aussie sensibility to making music as opposed to when you're paired with American band members?
I'm not sure if I could overall generalize, but the two bands are very different, and it's not particularly on purpose. It's just, it's a really interesting the way that it works, because actually both Sid and Danny, the drummer in Australia, always go, it must be weird for you going back and forth. And I strangely find it like really easy. It's interesting. Danny has this really percussive approach, and he's got all these gadgets and little things, and so he brings a different like a different angle to it. I think if he was like a, you know, a strummer like Sid but not as good, that would be just a terrible that would be, but they're so different, so I get these different flavors. Sid has this incredible groove that, you know, he just lays down, and he has less of the sort of, you know, little fancy
No fancy business.
Not no fancy business.
I'm a very fancy man.
Yeah.
I don't have fancy business.
Yeah, you don't wear fancy business socks. Or, yeah. So, and then, you know, I have this woman keyboard player in Australia who sings backup and, you know, brings this wonderful vocal to it. You know, I love both bands for and I get different things out of them. So it's very, I'm very blessed.
Is it ever as simple as there being like a different interpretation of what fast means or what loud means or anything, that it just means a slightly different thing depending on where you're at?
Oh, definitely.
Really?
Definitely. And communicating is different, and you know, each person's, you know, like center of gravity or groove is different. And so that's the only thing that I find I have to like tap back into is like, oh, that's right. On that slowdown at the end of this song, it's a different feel. Like it's, and I have to be ready for those moments where, for Sid, it's like he's playing it the same way he's always played it, but it feels right, and I'm like, oh, that's right. It's much different to.
Well, she comes back to us a little different, you know, in a good way. Like, you know, every time she works with somebody else, whether it's a different band or writing with somebody else, there's a little change, and we respond to that. And we pick up on it. It's really healthy for our musical relationship, I would say. Maybe even our friendship.
I'll second that. Yeah. I'll second that. Yeah, it's good for my education as a musician for sure.
Well, and speaking of musical education, you have to think of, I'm guessing, almost three different versions of all of the songs in your catalog, because you perform solo, you perform in a small setting like we've got here, and you're also performing with a full band. How do you keep track of what needs to be added, or then if you subtract an element, say drums, from it, what you then need to add back in terms of more percussive guitar playing to fill the gap?
That's a really good question, because and it's tricky.
I'll be here all day, answer as long as you like.
No, I find it really tricky, and I'm always a little scared and reluctant to, you know, to be like, oh, that's right, we're doing a house concert, or we're doing a full band show, and remembering, you know, what all the moving parts are, and what always happens is that I'm reluctant, and, you know, to, for instance, on this tour, Sam couldn't join us for the first few shows, so Sid and I played some duo shows, and, you know, rehearsing for it, I'm like, oh, this is hard, as you know, and it just, you know, takes time to actually rework the songs to the point where they work, where you're not feeling like you're just missing the bass or missing that extra harmony or missing something. You want to make it its own thing, so that it feels, it might not be full in the sense of having a full band, but it's full in the sense of a complete picture of the song in that particular way. And so even though I was reluctant and kind of scared about, you know, stepping out just as a duo, it again was this wonderful learning experience for me as a musician, to sort of, what else can I do? Where else can I grow? And same for Sid. And, yeah, and then to sort of, you know, go and do it and go, oh, wow, we pulled it off. Like it's a really gratifying thing.
Well, I know that you guys have worked up one more tune to play for us today. There is an older tune I want to ask you about, though, and it's not necessarily like the radio tune. You know, there's usually one or two songs on a record that are kind of the radio song. They're catchy, they're earworms. But it's a song that I think people should hear, and that's Jesse.
Oh, yeah.
Tell folks the backstory of what this song is about and the song itself, because I find it really interesting, and it's one of those that's kind of buried a little bit on the album, but certainly has a pretty deep story behind it.
Sure, yeah. Well, thanks for asking. Actually, a woman approached me at a show in 2009, out where I grew up, actually, in Hepburn Springs, in Victoria, and this never happened to me before. She just sort of said, hey, I've got this story that I think should be told, and I've heard that you write, you know, she'd heard my album Parking Lots, and there's a couple of songs on in that album that are other people's stories, not my own. And she said, would you be willing to hear what my story is and maybe write about it? And I was fascinated, and we met up not long after that. We spent like an afternoon together in this park in Melbourne, and she shared this story with me of losing her son to what is now known as forced adoption, which was a policy in Australia and also in the US, I came to learn, and other parts of the world, where unwed pregnant women would be coerced, in some cases forced to sign away their rights to their children, because, you know, being an unwed parent or unwed mother was unacceptable, particularly if you were associated with the church or the social system, social services system. And so Jessie is the story of her personal, the way that she lost her son and particularly the pain of the guilt that she did sign the papers, but she didn't think, she thought she could reverse it. She was feeling so pressured and she had no one supporting her, and she was 19. And so not only was he taken from her, but she feels like it's all her fault. And it's now recognized as an abuse of human rights. And it happened to thousands of women in Australia, and I believe hundreds of thousands of women in America, some sent off to sort of places where you would just wait out your pregnancy and then, you know, have your baby taken.
So how long did that story gestate before it came out as a song?
It took a long time because it felt like a very heavy... I had no idea about this phenomenon, you know, this event or multiple events in it. And so it felt like a story that really needed to be told, and I wanted to do it justice, and it took me a long time. Like, I mean, 2009, she told me the story, and I guess I finished the song not long before we recorded the album in 2012.
Have you had an opportunity to play it for her?
I absolutely have, and I mean, what was amazing was, I came back, I played it for her. She was thrilled with the song. It actually reached her son, who she had met, but you know, there's so much complication with that. With that relationship, and he'd sort of didn't really want to know her, and I met him in another city, and I got to play the song for him, and he was, you know, it was just really moving. Wow. And he was going to get back in touch with her, and I also got to play the song during the time that I was writing it. There started to be this movement to get a formal apology going in Australia, and the states did it first, and then there was a federal apology by the Prime Minister, and I got to sing the song at the at the event.
Wow.
In Parliament in 2012.
That's
13.
Really cool.
Yeah. Hmm. So it was an amazing journey for me as a songwriter too, to be invited in to share that kind of story.
Yeah, that's a tune called Jessie. It is on the album called The Moment, an earlier record from Mia Dyson. Mia Dyson is my guest today live in the JPR studios. You have one more for us today? What are you
going to
do?
I do, and I could... Why don't I play that one?
Really?
Yeah, I mean,
all right.
You know, I'll forgive me if it's a bit rusty, because I actually I played it, you know, all through the touring of that record, so a bunch. But then it just got really heavy. I just didn't feel like I could play it every night. So here we are, I think. And whatever you guys want to join in or not.
Yeah, well, join or not. I'm totally. I want to just hear it at this point. I'm in.
All right. Jessie, Jessie, did they change your name? So you all know who I am. Oh, Jessie, where are you, darling son? You were taken from my think I gave you up. I was just a girl, not yet strong enough to stand up when they come. Said I'm not fit to raise my son. He's promised to a husband and wife. So with fingers crossed behind my back, I signed us apart. Oh, Jessie, Jessie, did they change your name? So you all know who I am. Oh,
taken from my arms. Mama put me on a train in the middle of the night, sent me away to hide my shame, said come back without the child. In a bare white room I labored alone till they came to put me out. I had to fight just to see you, to remember your eyes. Oh, Jesse, Jesse, did they change your name?
And now everybody has heard the tune. That is Jesse. It's Mia Dyson live here on Jefferson Public Radio. It's been a real pleasure to have you in.
Thank you so much.
I mean, you were here last summer, played at Brit, and now coming back through town.
Yeah.
So what brings you out on the West Coast right now?
Well, we're doing this tour up the West Coast, and we had a couple dates free, and we wanted to reach out to people on the mailing list and see if we could fill some dates in with a couple of house concerts, because it's something that's becoming more and more, you know, of a possibility for us, and, you know, with a stripped down kind of set. And these lovely people got back to us on the email. Neil and Elizabeth offered to host a house concert for us, so we're thrilled. And yeah, it's a wonderful way to get introduced to a community and meet fabulous people and stay in really interesting places.
Will you come back and visit us again?
Absolutely. I love this town. Yeah.
Mia Dyson is my guest. Her newest record is called Idlewild. Information on the album and on Mia at miadyson.com. Mia, guys, thanks again for coming by.
Thank you.
Thank you.